Thank you so much. We appreciate it. If you are worshiping online with us this morning, welcome to you. We're so glad that you're participating in that way. Pray God's blessing be with you. Thank you all for being here. My name is Luke. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and praise God that we get to be here together. We're so excited that you chose to worship here at Westgate this morning. I see lots of faces that I don't recognize, which is a gift to us. We're so glad that you're here, whether you're invited by family or you found us in whatever way. We would love to know that you are here so that we can reach out and connect with you. This is a connect card that's right in front of you, so you can fill that out and place that in one of the offering baskets. This is a great way for us to be able to touch base and know that you are here, or any way we can pray for you. We would love to do that. There's also a QR code if you want to be techie about it. So Pastor Andrea and Pastor Chris shared a few ways that we can get you plugged into community through that lunch or with the delicious tacos, all those things. But if you're just feeling great, you're feeling fired up after Easter, like I know sometimes happens, we have an opportunity right away this week for you to come together with us and simply pray. We do this once a month, and we gather right here in this space. We actually have time slots throughout the whole day. If you can't make it to the evening session, you can sign up and do a Zoom prayer with other people throughout the day. But what we really want to invite you to is to come to this space the first Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock, where we just gather around and we pray for our community, we pray for our church family, we pray for what's going on in each other's lives, and we want that to feel as much of an open invitation as possible, okay? So that's coming up this Tuesday, 6 o'clock, right here. Does that feel good? Are you feeling good? I'm feeling really good today. It's a good day. It's a good day. So I just like generally feel encouraged, okay? There's a lot, if you wanted to be discouraged out there, there's a lot that we could feel discouraged about. But I just have to say, as a pastor here at this church, as someone who pays attention to what's going on in the community, I feel really encouraged by like all these baptisms that you're going to see happening this morning. We've got more happening at the 11 o'clock service. I feel encouraged by like the stories that we hear of you guys as a church family reaching out to each other and connecting and serving each other, praying for each other as you're going through stuff. Even things like you can go read articles right now of like what's going on in like Gen Z, like cool young people vibes. They took over us millennials as the cool young people now. Ugh. But like even they, there's this like fire of faith happening in that generation that's almost like foreign to the rest of us. It's really a beautiful thing. There is a lot to be encouraged about, and we are, like we've said, here to celebrate what's going on today. So even in the midst of tough times, we're here to celebrate. I'm going to pray for us, and then we will go ahead and get into today's message. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love and the compassion that you have for every person sitting in this room, watching online, every person in the world. God, we pray that your voice would enter in now, that it would drown out all of the holiday preparation, logistical stuff that we've got on our minds. Let that go for now. God, that your voice would come in and it would drown out any distractions, that it would drown out any darkness, any deceptions, God, that your voice would drown out the doubts, that your voice would just speak into our lives now, because we want to hear from you as we're here to praise and glorify you, King Jesus. And so now, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would do the speaking, that your word that we get to study and look at today would do the work in our hearts, and that everything about this moment now would be a blessing to you, Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, so our church has been going through a series looking at John chapter 1 over the last few weeks, and so we're going to continue that here this Easter Sunday. I'm going to read it for us, and then we will get into it a little bit, okay? This is John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." this whole series we've been talking about is all about this word right here. Behold. Everyone say, behold. Behold. This is a big word in the Bible. This is a big word that says, like, check it out. This is big news. Notice what's going on here. Whoa, look, look, are you looking? See? Pay attention. That's what I find myself saying a lot of times as a parent. Pay attention. Guys, pay attention. Okay. John the Baptist is saying, wow, this is big news that we have to share. This is the first time in the Gospel of John that Jesus actually enters the scene. He actually steps onto the story. He enters the stage. He appears. He arrives. And this is his big introduction. Now introducing to you King Jesus, everybody, right? It's this big moment. And John the Baptist says, behold, behold who? The Lamb of God. And all the people hearing him talking, they're saying, the Lamb of God. Wait, what does that mean? The Lamb of God. I feel like I've heard that somewhere, they said. I feel like, oh, wait, isn't that what Isaiah was? Isn't that the, Isaiah talked about that, right? Isaiah, he said, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Are any of you carrying grief or sorrow here with you this morning? Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Anyone carrying transgressions with you here this morning? He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Is anyone here looking for healing this Sunday morning? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Certainly know I have. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth like the lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before it shears it's silent, so he opened not his mouth. John the Baptist is saying, this is him. This guy right here that just walked into the room, this is him, the Lamb of God. Here to do what? Are you seeing this? What's he here to do? He's here to take away the sins of the world. Like the whole world? Yeah, that's right. That is what Isaiah was talking about, isn't it? That is what he was saying. He was saying that someone was going to come and do that and take all those sins away. That's right. Are you paying attention? John the Baptist says. And he goes on and he says, this, after me, this is the man who ranks before me. I know you guys think I'm pretty cool, John the Baptist says. I know you think I'm pretty awesome, but this guy's more awesome. This guy's more cool. And I didn't know him, but I knew that there was some reason that God had me coming here to baptize people with water. And then verse 32, he says, I saw it. I saw the Spirit of God. The Spirit of, are you paying attention? Did you notice this? The Spirit of God came down from heaven like a dove and landed on this guy, this one right here. Are you noticing this? Pay attention, guys. Let's go. John says, I myself, I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water, he said, this is the guy. This is the one. Are you noticing this? And all the people are like, why are you yelling at us? And John says, I'm yelling. I'm making sure you're noticing that this is the Son of God. Are you beholding this? And John the Baptist knew that something had changed. The rest of the world hadn't quite realized it yet. It would take a few years. For some, it's taken a lot longer than that. But he knew something special was happening that morning. that Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world, was in their midst. And it did change everything forever. And ever since then, Jesus, the risen Son of God, has been changing people's lives. He's been revealing himself to them. He's been like walking into the room and everything changes. Like, here's some examples. In John, this is John chapter 1. A few chapters later in John chapter 4, there's this disgraced woman who's at a well looking for a drink of water. And Jesus goes up to her and he has a conversation with her. He really wasn't supposed to. She was a sinful, disgraced woman. But he has this conversation with her and he says, "You know, you're looking for regular water here. I'm here to bring you living water. Living water that will nourish your soul." And then he talks to her a little bit about her sin and her lifestyle. And he said, "I'm the one that's here to bring salvation to the world." And in that one encounter, that one conversation with the risen Jesus, the Jesus that was there in the flesh in front of her, she runs off. She like literally drops her water jar at the well and runs off to tell people, "Look, there's this man. He told me everything I ever did." In Luke chapter 7, there's this story of a man that had a lot of power and authority from a governmental, like political standpoint. But he had this servant that he held dear and loved. And this servant was deeply sick, was very, very ill, was on his deathbed actually. And so he goes and he had heard about this man, Jesus. So he goes and he finds Jesus and he says, "Jesus, I've got this servant. I know you've been healing people. Would you come and, I really love this servant. Would you come and heal this servant? Because I believe that you can." And Jesus says, "Whoa, are you guys noticing this? Because of this man's faith, that servant will be healed." A couple other examples. In 1922, a 12-year-old girl living in Yugoslavia decided to dedicate her life to Jesus Christ. At 18 years old, she moved to India to become a teacher. And in 1964, she experienced what she described as a call within the call to dedicate her life to humanitarian work. And from that point forward, Mother Teresa became known as one of the most impactful and loving people in all of human history because she was changed by the power of Jesus Christ. More recently, there's a girl who grew up right here in this church. And at 5 years old, she described she would crawl around under the pews of this church, and she came to know that Jesus loved her and cared about her. And then when she got to middle school, she felt this sense of calling, that Jesus was calling her to care for others in the world. And now, she's not here today, unfortunate for us, because she and her husband and their two little boys, they're over in the Horn of Africa, living amongst a community of predominantly Muslim people, just living out their Christian faith, sharing the love of Christ with people in that community. In Mark chapter 10, there's this blind beggar, this man who had lived outside the city walls of Jericho, and he was blind and he couldn't see. He would have been cast aside by society, and Jesus stops and he has a conversation. The man's name was Bartimaeus, and he was at the lowest of low, the most hopeless point in his whole life, and he displays this belief in a conversation that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." And the blind man can see, and he moves forward. In Matthew chapters 5 through 7, a crowd gathers around because they had learned that this Jesus had important things to say, and they didn't have any idea because what he was about to say was even more important. And Jesus stood up on a mountainside, and he described to them the kingdom of God, the way God wanted the world to operate. And he goes through all of these things, and their minds were blown. And still to this day, the Sermon on the Mount has reshaped the whole ethical, moral understanding of how the world was designed to work. I have a friend who I got to know when we lived in Illinois, and he described how he grew up in a really worldly kind of family and lifestyle. He kind of didn't know right from left. He kind of found himself kind of going with the ways of the world, and to the point where he was living down in Florida, and he was living a life of sexual promiscuity and addiction to pornography and all these different things, until the day came where Jesus came and met him there, changed his life. And this man, my friend, he committed his life to Jesus, and he changed his path. He started walking in the ways of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures, and now today he's living in Nashville working at an organization that serves men all across the country who are struggling with sexual addiction because Jesus entered in and changed his life. In John chapter 8, a religious leader, this elite religious man, came to him and brought this woman, and they said, "Jesus, you're saying you're holy, you're saying you're one with God. Well, this woman, she's been caught in the act of adultery. She's a disgraced sinner by our laws. What do you want us to do to her? Because we're ready to give her the consequences that she's earned." And Jesus looks at the woman, and then he looks past the woman at the crowd of religious elite, and he says, "Oh, you want to cast stones at her? Okay, well then, any of you that is without sin in your life, you go ahead. You cast the first stone." And the leaders, they tossed their rocks on the ground, and they walked away. And then Jesus goes over to the woman, and he says, "I have saved you. Now go and sin no more." In 1906, there was this intelligent young man who was born in Germany. He grew up in a Lutheran family. He found faith at a young age, but he continued to pursue that faith. And as a young man, he came to a deeper understanding of the life and the teachings of Jesus. He committed himself to the study of theology. And then when the Nazi regime came in and started oppressing people and using their power to hurt people, this man became convinced that sometimes the gospel calls for us to stand up to evil and authority in the world. And so that's what he did. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote and fought for this belief until he was arrested in 1943 and executed in 1945. There's this kid who grew up kind of bouncing around his hometown in North Dakota, trying to figure out where exactly he fit in with the ways of the world, trying to figure out who his friends really were going to be. And then God revealed himself when he healed his sister of cancer, and he showed him that the church community is a beautiful and blessed place. And then God helped me navigate through my stupid choices that I made in college, navigate through my mental health challenges, navigate through the trials of life and ministry, and he's given me the privilege now of standing here with all of you, proclaiming the good news of the risen Jesus Christ. In Matthew 17, a man brings his son forward, and he goes to Jesus, and he says, "My son is plagued by seizures. Jesus, will you help? We've tried everything. We've tried everything we can. Will you help us?" And Jesus looks at the young boy, and he speaks against the demon that was living inside of this boy, and he told the demon to leave because Jesus had authority over all of those dark powers. And he told everyone that if you would just have faith as small as a mustard seed, you too can have power over the darkness of this world. In Mark 11, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling all the prophecies that had said he was going to come. In Mark 14, he sits down and he has this dinner with his 12 disciples, his followers, and he starts to explain to them what was about to come, that he was going to be betrayed by one of them, that he was going to be crucified on the cross. In the midst of that meal, John chapter 13 tells us that Jesus actually stooped down and he grabbed a towel and water. He actually washed the feet of those disciples. The king had stooped low and taught us about service and love. And in Matthew chapters 26 and 27, we see that he was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested, he was wrongfully convicted, and he was sent to an excruciating public death on the cross. Then he was buried in a tomb. But then, if you look at John chapter 20, you see a few things take place. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, that's John, the writer of this book, and said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. Guys, behold, notice, something's happening here. And then and a few verses later, it says, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. What? Pay attention, guys. He was standing there. But she didn't know that it was Jesus until he said, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And supposing it was just the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried the man away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary, Mary, it's me. It's me. I'm alive. I'm alive for you. And I don't know what exactly you've got that you brought in here with you today. But I know that Jesus is the answer. Throughout the rest of the New Testament, over the course of 2,000 years of human history, people have found themselves in places of shame and distraction and confusion and darkness, and they're not sure what's right from left and left from right, and they don't know where to turn, but then they finally come to a place where they stop and they look up and they realize Jesus is the answer. He gets me because he was here. He lived. And he gets my imperfection, and he took it for me. And then he died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again, because that's the kind of power he has. And when people behold the risen Jesus, it empowers us. And it challenges us. And it matures us, and it equips us for the daily grind, and he accepts us. Did you know that he accepts you exactly as you are sitting here today? And he forgives us. And I have to tell you all that if we're going to truly behold Jesus this Easter, we have to shift our focus back to him. We have to take our eyes off of TikTok and Instagram and cable news. We have to stop obsessing over what we perceive as the person looking back at us in the mirror and all the critique that we have around that. Unless you love looking at yourself in the mirror, then go for it. We have to take our eyes off of the stock tickers and the video games, and we have to stop objectifying and obsessing over appearances. We have to stop gossiping because it makes us feel good, and hating others because we're so right in what we think, and judging others just because they're different than us. We have to stop keeping score in our relationships. We have to stop basing our identity, our understanding of who we are, on the standards that this culture out there tells us we're supposed to follow. We have to stop spiraling in our screw-ups and instead soak in our salvation that comes from him and only him. Behold the Lamb of God. who takes away the sin of the world. That's you. He lived, he died, he rose again for you. Do you believe? Do you believe that he can do all these things and more in your own life? Do you believe that the risen Jesus still has power right now, today? I do. Do you believe that he has taken on the weight, the burden of living in this world, and he's carrying it for you? John the Baptist tells us this is the Son of God who came to baptize in the Holy Spirit. We're about to witness it. We're about to see it happening. It's not just about the water. The water is a symbol. The experience, the power of the Holy Spirit is what's changing people's lives this morning. Honestly, we'll baptize you if you want to. You can come forward right now. Pastor Chris, he'll meet you up there. We've got shorts and t-shirts and towels. Jesus is ready for you. The question is, are you ready for him? Are you ready to bring him into your life, to clear out all of the gunk that has clogged up the engine of your life and live in freedom again? Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, this is the hope of the world. This is the hope for our lives. This is the answer to our problems. This is the resolution to our troubles. It is the power of the sacrifice and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Would you help us to be people who behold that today and every day? Amen. I'm excited to introduce you all to Alex Santelman. Alex is going to get baptized at our 11 o'clock service. He's a dude with a really cool story. And Alex, I'm going to have you stand in front of the table if you would. And he's going to share a pretty powerful story with you all.
Good morning. He is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hello. I'm Alex Santelman. I'm a 19-year-old. I'm a freshman at Bethel University playing football, and I've been going to Westgate Church my entire life. I was even dedicated on the same stage. Now, my whole life, I'd been a Christian. Like I said, I'd been attending a church, and the thought and just the act of baptism, I always pushed off, always looked for an excuse to say, oh, next year, oh, I'll do it next year. Then my junior year of high school, I blew out my knee in basketball. And at the time, I thought, how could something as a 17-year-old, what could be worse? I couldn't play my senior football season. I couldn't really play my senior basketball season. And yet, I was still somewhat relieved that I could use another excuse to not get baptized. And then, 10 months or at the end of that year, I was start feeling leg pain in my right leg. And then, January 10th of 2025, I was diagnosed with cancer. They found that I had Ewing sarcoma in my right leg. That involved 10 months of treatment, intense chemotherapy, and 8 weeks of radiation. And now, by the grace of God, I'm cancer-free. I just want to shout out everybody here for all the prayers, especially Luke for always being there throughout my knee and my diagnosis. Now, cancer, it changed my life. It gave me a new appreciation of life to the point where I can stand up here and confidently say it was a gift in disguise. I fully believe that now I can live a happier life than I could have ever before the diagnosis. Cancer taught me that nothing in life is guaranteed, and everybody's cancer journey is different. God paved my cancer journey to physical healing, and I want to start my journey of still being here on this earth and leading it towards a God-first life. And I'm going to begin that with getting baptized today. Thank you.